A brief overview for those who weren't here this morning. First off, again, I'm always grateful for an opportunity to stand before you, share a little bit of the Word of God. I'm always humbled by that. Again, I can't reiterate it enough. The spiritual maturity that exists in our congregation makes it so. Should I say something that isn't supported by book, chapter, and verse, I know that I can count on you to get me right, and then with humility I will come before you and correct whatever whatever's brought before me. So far, so good. No challenges to this morning's discussion, but I would like to recap a little bit for those who weren't here. Keeping along the theme of this month, freedom. Our theme of this month is freedom. So I prepared a lesson about the freedom in Christ, and there were really only two remaining slides left for us to complete. So this is actually going to go pretty fast. But I do want to give some background for those of you who were not here this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. This is the scripture reading I chose for this particular lesson. It says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Using this as the foundation, I also prepared a kind of a lesson objective behind this, and I hope I'm going right. My goal from this lesson was to align misconstrued ideas about what freedom is under God's definition of freedom. And what we, as Christians, are called to do to appreciate it and uphold it in the world that we live in today. Not just the world, but the world that is the United States of America, who touts freedom. It's in our Constitution. It's in our Bill of Rights. And anymore today, we hear a lot about what that means. And so for it, I thought it would be important to bring a lesson to help keep our hearts on the right path as to what Christ expects of us in such a world. Then I provide, that's a directional thing. All right, so then I shared with everyone this morning about a definition of what freedom is. Everyone really knows what freedom is. And to fully understand how the idea of freedom has gotten misconstrued, you don't really have to look any further than its definition to understand. By the word itself, how it got misconstrued. Freedom is defined as the condition or right of being able or allowed to do, say, think, etc. And now we know, at least in our country, etc. can be interpreted as self-identifying, right? And so a lot of different ways people have interpreted what freedom has meant for them. Whatever you want to do without being controlled or limited. Again, by its definition, we see the challenges. We see some of the problems that it poses, particularly for our country, and probably more importantly for us as Christians and what that means. So then, this was some interesting, you'll just see a map here, I don't know if you can see where it says here, less freedom, more freedom, and no data. This map is the Human Freedom Index, or HFI, a little bit of research I did, that presents a broad measure of human freedom, understood as the absence of coercive constraint. This seventh annual index uses 82 distinct indicators of personal and economic freedom in the following areas: rule of law, security and safety, movement, religion, association, assembly, and civil society, expression and information, relationships, size of government, legal system and property rights, sound money, freedom to trade internationally, regulations. The HFI is the most comprehensive freedom index so far created for a globally meaningful set of countries and jurisdictions representing 98.1% of the world's population. The HFI covers 165 jurisdictions for 2019, the most recent year for which sufficient data was available, and the index ranks jurisdictions beginning in 2008, the earliest year for which this robust index could be could produce the statistics that I'm sharing with you even now. So on this slide here, I'm showing you a world view of what that looks like. Freedom is defined as an individual's freedom of opinion and expression, quality before the courts, security of private property, and freedom to come and go. Those most free countries listed here, and you'll notice that ranking in the top five, America doesn't even show up there. And of course, we have a list of the least free countries according to this HFI. The world's view of freedom is defined as an individual's freedom of opinion and expression. Again, we have freedom in this country to come and go. We know this from our First Amendment, Bill of Rights, United States Constitution, and the like, for its citizens. The data shown here, the data that it shows in the HFI, shows that there is an unequal distribution of freedom in the world, with only 14.6% of the world's population living in the top quartile of jurisdictions in the HFI, and 40.3% living in the bottom quartile. The gap of human freedom between the most free and the least free jurisdictions has widened since 2008, increasing by 6.6% when comparing comparing the top and bottom quartile nations in the left. And for our point of reference in this country, our neighbors to the south of us, Mexico ranks about number 93 on this HFI index, and the U.S. ranks number 15. And they're both coming in about 6.92 for Mexico and 8.73 HFI, respectively. And with our neighbors to the north, that being Canada, they are ranked at number 6. So just after, on the far right there, with an HFI score of 8.85. With only 14.6% of the world's population living in the top quartile of the jurisdictions in the HFI and 40.3% living in the bottom quartile, the gap in human freedom between the most free and the least free jurisdictions widening since 2008, the idea of freedom is not widely accepted. At least throughout the world. And my question is why? I would look at the statistics of this and I'd ask myself, why is that? And again, it begs the question because I live in the United States of America where it's our culture, it's our creed, it's our belief that everyone wants or aspires to be free. But according to this bit of research that I've done, that's not necessarily the case. And when I think about, and I shared again, a lot of this is, and again, just bear with me for those of you who are here this morning, but to make this point, we think about what's happening at our border. Any number of people trying to get into the United States, most of what we hear is that they want freedom. The sad reality is if you're coming here illegally, freedom is hardly what you get. I've worked with people who have to work under the table, off the grid, in the shadows, worried about a raid in their home. But they're here. That is not freedom. So what is it then that they aspire to have that they don't have at home? By and large, people value security over freedom. Security over freedom. And let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 19. Again, it's kind of a recap for those who weren't here. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 19. And this is where Samuel had to address the people's desire for a king. But the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel and said, "No, but there shall be a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles." Now, he wasn't happy about this, and he told God about it, and God said, "Well, okay, we're going to grant them what they want, but make sure they understand what they're going to get." And so Samuel goes back and shares with them, "Okay, you want a king, but this is what's going to happen." And they're like, "I don't want to hear all that. Just get us a king like the other nations." And the question again, I ask, why? What is it? What is the draw? And the answer is here. They can judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. People value security over freedom. And that's hold on just a minute before I get. And I think this is actually going to get us caught up. That was quick. Okay. So make it make sense. I make this claim. The Bible makes this claim. How did we realize it? Well, one of the ways this country realized it was through the COVID-19 Emergency Release CARES Act. With this act, we all got a check. In this country, we all got a check. $300 billion worth of cash that was sent into your account under the guise of COVID-19 Emergency Relief Care. $260 billion in increased unemployment benefits. $350 billion in forgivable loans, later increased to $669 billion. And the rest of that is there, $2.2 trillion in the span of a year and a half. Why? Why did this happen? Because people value security over freedom. As a working, tax-paying American, and even your children who are working, tax-paying Americans, this is a loan that handicaps freedom that is going to have to be paid somehow. But more importantly, why did I bring this statistic up? There's a lot of other statistics in here, but why this one? Because there's a certain attitude that was incorporated with this CARES Act. What was your attitude when you got your COVID check? We know some of the attitude in this country is people have kind of, "This is a good time. Yeah, we got some money. Free money from the government? You bet." Only those who know better about the government and free money know that, when is that other shoe going to fall? What are we doing here? And then I asked the question, what do you think the loan forgiveness would do to the entitlement mindset of American student citizenry today? We already know better than to give them a credit card when they go to college. But marketers don't. They're happy to give young people a credit card as soon as they get ready to go to college. Could care less. They run up that bill, or they get into college and they run up that bill. I remember when I was going to college that I had to work to pay for books. I was literally crocheting blankets to pay for books that my mom taught me how to crochet. You got to figure it out. You got to be resourceful. It builds something in you, a certain, resilience and tenacity, steadfastness, all of those good Christian values start to kind of come to roost when you're on your own and got to pay bills. $669 billion worth of forgiveness on loans for young people who just learned how to, well, their first introduction into adulting and what that might look like. No, it's okay. We got you. What did you think this would do to us as Christians? What did it do to our country? What is it doing to our country? So I bring this because it's relatable, it's understandable, we know what happens, and so for it, this is where we are. Along with all the other provisions that came through this CARES Act, we're nurturing an attitude of dependency, not only on the government, but it compromises some of the foundational principles that it takes to be steadfast, to suffer long. Which, if again, going back to some of the talks that we've had in our Bible class, it's really an important attribute for Christians. Let's look at Matthew. A scripture comes to mind, and I think this will be a little bit different. Let's see here. Hopefully I can... And I won't... I'm getting warm, warmer yet. It's gonna happen. If not, then I'm gonna call a friend. Temptation of Christ. Where is it? Seven? Matthew.
When,
yeah. Just right there, right at the beginning. That's all I've done. Well, let's try again. Matthew chapter 4. Oh, it would be right where this is. Yeah, there's that. So. Whoopsies. I guess I marked my Bible for a reason. Let's look at Matthew chapter 4, and again, the master teacher always teaches. Then Jesus said, Jesus was led up by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, and after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. You think?
Yeah, just a little
bit. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Do you think that it took some kind of strength inside of him after 40 days of not eating to tell the devil that? Because we use this, I cite this example because this is who we follow. This is where we get our character from. This is where we get our foundation from. This is the stock that we're asked to be a part of. Then the devil looked at him, rather took him, I'm going to be getting new glasses, so that's going to be great. Took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command the angels concerning you. And on their hands, they will bear you up unless you strike your foot against the stone. Devil left out a whole lot in that scripture he's quoting there. That's kind of what he does. This tells you what you want you to know in order for you to go with his idea. You can leave out just one word like, I don't know, not. change the whole trajectory of how he wants you to buy into his idea. Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory and said to him, "All these I will give you." The nerve of the devil. I'm going to give God everything that already belongs to him. But that's what he does. As if he forgot who he was talking to, and he did. He didn't care. But I just think that's really rich. "All these things I will give you if you'll fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Be gone, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Why did I use this example? Because being a Christian, you're going to be tempted. Being a Christian, you're not only going to be tempted, you're going to be tempted when your physical body wants something else. You ask anybody who went through COVID, struggling, seeing parents, seeing kids die from this, and you've got a very physical reality. That was unfathomable. There were people, they were putting in trailers because they couldn't get them buried. They were dying so fast. It was unbelievable. It shook this nation. And it's still shaking us. We couldn't even imagine it. This many people dying and we weren't at war. What do you want me to do about that, Gary? That was crazy and still is. Well, Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. I wish that I could give you the answer and tell you what you should do, only I was watching this stuff too. I was listening to the media take this to a whole nother level of freak outness. I was worried about my brothers and sisters in Christ. I was worried about my brothers, my family. I was worried about myself running around with the mask. I put together a concoction that would just mitigate anything inside of me. I was drinking habaneros. Yeah, the pepper, that one. Oh, I had this elixir that I put together. I'll tell you what. If it's in me, it's going to run. I wasn't the only one coming up with stuff. I was like, it was like, what we got to do here? We got real creative, didn't we? Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Again, the master teaches, and he said to all, if any one of you would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Wait a minute. What are we talking about here? This is Jesus talking to his disciples, reminding them about the stock, what they're made of, what is expected of them. Why are you bringing this up? What's that got to do with COVID? It is still happening today. But COVID is attempting to undermine the strength of the congregation, the strength of the church, the strength, the security that resides in us putting our lives in God's hands. And it's backed by the government. But what does Jesus tell us? He says, for whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Wait, what? Listen, the only reason I bring this up is because of the CARES Act and COVID and all of this attitude that it brought in that said to you, look, instead of putting God first, here's what I want you to do. I want you to quarantine forever. We were having little individual cups for the Lord's Supper. This breaking of bread, sharing in what that meant. We had to abandon or reinvent that. That's what we had to do. We didn't abandon. We had to reinvent it. We had to social distance. And there was a time where we could not even come through these doors, not legally, in these United States. Remember that? Mm-hmm. Oh. And after a while, we were like, you know what? What are we doing here? What are we doing? We've got to put God first. But somebody might die. We've got to put God first. What are you living for as a Christian? And there goes our reality right there. COVID should not have had anything on us as Christians, but you know what? We're human. It was very real and is still very real. People were afraid. They still are afraid. Still got people, huh? They don't see other people over this whole thing. So, okay. What are you trying to tell me I need to do as a Christian? Freedom in Christ. Let's bring it back to center. We are called to take up our cross daily and follow Christ. The cost of discipleship means a little something different than what our country, God bless it, be it His will, is articulating in our attitude that we should do. Our country would have us put personal security over freedom. What that means is you're going to then abandon a certain amount of personal responsibility that allowed you to have it, meaning freedom. So I bring this lesson because freedom in Christ doesn't matter what happens with the government. Doesn't matter the CARES Acts that they put together. It doesn't matter the overturning of Roe v. Wade. All of that stuff is happening. People have lost their minds. They're putting blood on the doors of churches and abortion, or what do you call it? Not even abortion. It's the places, care centers where they, you know, try to keep you from actually having an abortion. Why? Well, they want the government to give them permission to not have personal responsibility. Because when you abandon personal responsibility, well, then you don't have to go to church. The government said, I don't have to go to church. The government said, I can abort this baby. I don't have to raise this. I don't have to deal with this. All under the guise of freedom. I say this because this country is the, you know, I'd rather not have to worry about taking my Bible and going to church. Simple things. But according to that index, there's some countries you can't do that. You want to know what that's like? Ask Jeff. He's traveled. He knows. He's been around. He knows. You just can't just pop up and be a Christian. We have a lot of luxuries here in this country. Luxuries that we shouldn't take for granted because we have them. When there's an opportunity for the saints to assemble, understand there are saints who cannot. And they don't have anything to do with COVID. It's just part of their totalitarian rule because people have abandoned personal responsibility. They've given the rule over to the government. They said that they want somebody over us to fight our battles for us, and they do it. And they feel secure, but they don't have freedom. Holding yourself accountable for your words, your actions, instead of blaming others or making constant excuses is part of what it means to have personal responsibility. In order to no longer be a slave to sin, John chapter 8, 31 through 34, you've got to have that attitude. And that's the stock that we're built from as Christians. Taking responsibility for your successes and, more importantly, your failures requires personal responsibility. We don't get that today in this country. You're hearing it. You can just turn on the news and it's the blame game gone amok. Do we still know why we're here in this pending and/or realized recession? You know, I don't know. Do you realize how we got here? How about that $2.2 trillion check? You can't even do that in your home. We're just going to just bite the bullet. We're just going to do it. What are we going to do? We're going to buy a house. Oh, okay. Have any money for that? Save up for it? No, it doesn't matter. Just going to do it. Yeah, nobody thinks like that. Not expecting to stay in the house. We have certain things that make sense to us. But when it came to the government doing certain things, we just sort of just, why did we go, oh, okay. Personal security. I bring this lesson because we have to turn that spigot off. Because if we're not careful as Christians, we're going to be buying into the mindset that made that okay and abandoning personal responsibility for what we need to do to even look at that reality, the dynamics of, you know, I'm not even talking about the alt-right, as they put it, or the left, Republican or Democrat, because to make the point, I'm going to go back. When this happened, Donald Trump signed that into law. Biden comes in and extends it. That's a Republican and a Democratic problem. Just in case you were making me out to be something else. Lesson in about that. All right? This is the majority. We don't operate from the majority. Narrow is the gate. Right? So then, freedom in Christ. Matthew chapter 10, verses 16 through 22. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be wise as serpents, innocent as doves. Who is talking here? Jesus is talking. Who is he talking to? His apostles. What is he talking about? Well, great mission, the work that is to be done after he's gone. This is the ultimate locker room pep talk. to remind us of who we are. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to the courts and flog you in the synagogues. They will be, you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, i.e. in Christ, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles when they deliver you over. Do not be anxious. Whoa, don't be anxious. COVID created a chaotic priority for anxious. No one, you can't even cough a little bit. Remember that? Nobody cough? What's wrong with you? You okay? Little sneeze? People were losing it. Oh, we can laugh now because we're still here. But, you know, it was even happening in my home. I love my wife. She loves me and everything's great. Boy, I had a little cough. You doing all right? I'm fine. What you talking about? Just look. Brother can't get a cold? No, that's not, that don't sound right. Because we're human. This wasn't a mistake, that word, anxious. It's intentional. When your physical body, has to go through some kind of persecution, some kind of pain, you get a little anxious about that. I don't even like it when I get a little something dust in my eye. My eye doesn't like it much either. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious for how you are to speak or what you are to say. For what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. And all the rest of it. That's what Jesus tells us about what it means to take personal responsibility through trials, through pain. He understands that life is going to leave you with pain, especially if you're in Christ. You got to think a different way. You've got to go a different way. You've got to have a different attitude being in Christ. But to do that, you have to be less concerned about personal safety and security. When personal safety and security is your primary concern, you will abandon freedom in Christ. If personal safety and security was Jesus Christ's concern when he was being tempted by the devil, he never would have made it through it because he was hungry to make it relatable after 40 days, 40 nights. He was divine. He had the power to strike Satan down right then and there for having the audacity to tempt him in such a way. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11 and 12. It's a great scripture to remind us. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Verses 11 and 12. Enjoy life with the wife whom you love, and all the days of your vain life that has been given you under the sun. Doesn't sound very promising. Because that is your portion in life, and in your toil at which you toil under the sun. Whatever you find, whatever your hands find to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol to which you are going. Did I just read the right scripture? Oh, wow, that's setting it up. Okay. All right, I did that. Live a little. COVID took that away from you too, by the way. That's free. I'm not going to charge you for that, but that's scripture. Live a little bit. Get outside. You got your test, you got your booster, you got your shot, you're good. Get outside. That's free. Said it nice and loud for anybody who might be looking at it on the internet. Again, I saw that under the sun, the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the intelligent, nor favor to those with knowledge. But time and chance happen to them all. You cannot control everything that will happen to you in life. I don't care how many masks you wear, how many boosters you get. How much social distancing you do. How much you quarantine, isolate. Accidents, sickness, bad luck, human malice, natural disasters are all unfortunate realities of life. Some even attest our endurance. Ever thought about that? And our resilience in the Lord. Will you pass the test? You're not going to get a shot for that. You either are in Christ or you're not. You either let life and circumstances bring you down or you don't. And if you're resilient and you don't let life and circumstances bring you down, do you know that your in Christ state will follow you to heaven? Where your treasure is? Our government continues to lay the foundation for layers upon layers of spiritual abandonment. Our citizens continue to prioritize personal security over freedom, thus abandoning personal responsibility. When you refuse to take responsibility for yourself, you are, whether you know it or not, giving it to somebody else, be it the government or another person. And God did not ask you to do that. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 24. Look how age old this attitude is. Deuteronomy chapter 29, this is interesting. Verse 24. All the nations will say, "Why has the Lord done this to this land?" You don't think some people are saying that in the midst of COVID? Why, Lord? What are you doing? Oh, so you know me to be the Lord now. A little reminder of how much out of control we are in certain situations, right? What if COVID was that test? Did you pass it? Why has the Lord done thus to this land? What caused the heat of this great anger? The people will say, it is because they abandoned the covenant of the Lord, the God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them out of the land of Egypt, and went and served other gods and worshiped them, gods whom they had not known, and whom he had not allotted to them. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was kindled against the land, bringing upon it all the curses written in this book. And the Lord uprooted them from their land in anger and fury and great wrath, and cast them into another land as they are this day. Of course, this is what the people would be saying. Well, that's a little rough. It's also very possible. We can look at the example of Job to know it's possible that you might be going through a test. And if that's not happening, then look at this. Verse 29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and our children forever. That we may do all the words of this law. In other words, we need to stay in our lane as humans. Well, what is all this happening for? I don't know. Could be a test. Maybe not. Could be just that, you know, life and chance happens to us all. I don't know. It could be that too. Well, yeah, but why? Why would God of love bring us COVID? I don't know, but I know one thing. You gotta stop talking like that. The same God that brings us COVID could strike you down right now. Stop it. You're not in control. Stop asking questions. But that's all I know. I need information. Yeah. We're in an age of information. Some things you don't get to know. So shut up and wait on the Lord. I use that word intentionally. Because nobody can slap me up here. Well, you might. I don't know. Well, we have a hard problem. We have a hard time with that, right? Have a hard time waiting on the Lord, trying to figure out what His plan is. And we have a hard time not knowing what we want to know. We want answers. We need them now. Well, how about if it's the answer is get on your knees and pray. Get your life in order so that when you die, not if, did you think you're going to live forever? When you die, you can die in Christ. What do you think all this preaching is for? We got to get our lives right. It belongs to God anyway. All things belong to God. Freedom in Christ. Personal responsibility. Personal responsibility is an affront to personal security. We have to be less concerned for our personal safety and security. Life boils down to conscious choices, habits, random events. You can't control everything that happens to you. Accidents, sickness, bad luck, human malice, and natural disasters, all unfortunate realities of life. Some, even as I mentioned, are there to test our resilience to put God first. Last scripture here in the lesson is yours, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Along the lines of our scripture reading, let's look at the rest of it, 3:12. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold. That's who we are. That's the stock that we're made of, and being in Christ gives us this. Not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. But their minds were hardened, for to this day, when they read the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Therefore, having this ministry, by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we have proclaimed is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts and to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have a responsibility to put God first in the midst of trials. And as tempting and as attractive as all of this, our government and some of the shiny freebies they're going to give you, to abandon personal responsibility and lose our freedom, which could happen. Again, that could happen. There are countries that don't have the kind of freedom we realize in this country, and it could be our undoing. But even those who have the opportunity to read God's word have to put him first. And we will have no less expectation from God. Hope this lesson is encouraging to you. I'm glad I was able to get it out. It was a little over time. Thank you for your patience. If there's anyone who is in need of the encouragement of the church and or needs to respond to the invitation, please do so while together we stand and sing the song, Select.